Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Thank you so much for listening to the Finding Your Village podcast. Today, we have a very special guest. His name is Bradley, and he is the founder of Magic Kids alongside his son, Soren. His mission is to raise the spiritometer on planet Earth by spreading joy to the world via Magic Kids' magical audio stories, illustrated books, imagination, meditations, and music. And he also hosts the first ever fair trade publishing company. To date, Bradley has written and published 12 children's books and incredible audio stories. As a homeschooling dad, he believes in fostering imagination, creativity, and curiosity in kids so they grow up to be empowered, confident, caring grown-ups. For fun, he plays professional golf. Bradley, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Amanda. I'm glad to be here. Glad to get to share some stuff.
Me too. So we're going to be talking about screen time, how to reduce screen time, and some fantastic alternatives to screen time. But first, Bradley, would you give us a little bit more information about you and why you started Magic Kids?
Yeah, so my main business, Magic Media, I've been in the online learning space since, I guess, 2007. We began with using entertainment as a vehicle to teach and transform online, so producing entertainment-based media, mostly for grown-ups. And then that's kind of evolved over the last, I guess, 15 or so years. We have been building online communities, lots of online communities, supporting leaders to really leverage their life's work in the online space. And our son, Soren, he's six now. I proudly say he is a preschool dropout. He did a couple different preschools when he was about three, between three and four. And he made it very clear to us that school was not for him. His reasoning was there was bad vibes and that he couldn't focus on his projects. He really likes to focus on projects. And so that is one part of the story. The other part of the story is when he was, I guess when he was about two, and we introduced, you know, the occasional show into his life, what we saw were the withdrawal symptoms that an addict would have when you take the drugs away. And it was very, very clear. So the more we looked into what's actually happening inside of the brain and the body for kids when they're watching a show, it really is like an injection of heroin into the brain. I mean, if you look at the pace of which frames change per second now compared to like 1980s cartoons, it puts kids into a hypnotic state where they literally are like an open faucet and it's just pouring into their consciousness. And they're not monitoring their breathing. They're not monitoring how the show they're watching is making them feel emotionally. And most parents aren't teaching their kids the emotional skills to like deal with what they're feeling inside of their body. And so you go to close that laptop and the kid goes into a total Incredible Hulk rage. And so we saw this again and again and again, and we're like, this isn't working for you, Soren. It's not working for us. And so that was around the same time we're like, let's just try this audio story thing. So We found some audio stories on Spotify. We would put down, we figured out early on, like, put an activity down before starting the audio story. Otherwise, his attention span won't last very long. So we'd put a story on. We would put some Play-Doh, some blocks, coloring supplies, a crafting thing, whatever it was. And now we're talking, like, you know, for the last 3 years, from 3 to 6, this has kind of been our strategy. And so what we saw was a completely different experience. He would be fully immersed. You know, talking a 3-year-old with no attention span would be fully immersed for a full hour in creative play and imagination. And he would be building worlds and creating things and coloring and drawing without a single complaint. And when we would quiz him afterwards on what the story was about or what the character's lessons were, whatever it was, he could recall it all. He was listening to everything. And we're like, well, this is amazing. So then came the next hurdle, which was a lot of the stories that we were exploring, they didn't necessarily align with our values of, you know, he's listening to stories, he's taking that in, and we make sense of the world through story. And so we were seeing these stories that were like, they might have been funny, but they weren't necessarily helping him to learn about himself, learn about the world, explore values in the ways that we thought. And the ones that were values-based were either boring, cheesy, or poorly produced. And so we saw this gap where it was like, there needs to be values-aligned audio stories for kids that are fun for parents, that are fun for the kids, that are really well-produced. And so Sword and I, we were always making up stories. This was kind of a bedtime routine that we would make up stories. And some of the stories that we kept telling over and over again, I eventually put pen to paper. This is going back 2 years now, so back to 2020, I guess. Back in the good old pandemic days. It became very clear. I had this story. This was like the first one that I wrote, The Master's Apprentice. And it's about this master wizard here named Gizzard, who is ready to retire so he can go fishing at the beach. And he's searching for an apprentice, and finally an enthusiastic young Lentus here becomes his apprentice. And it's the journey of what it takes to go from good to great at something. And I wanted to publish this, but I understand the publishing industry. Number one, it takes 2 to 3 years to get a book from manuscript to bookshelf. Number two, they only pay 6 to 10%. Typically, an author will get paid their advance, say $10,000, but then they become indebted to the publishing company and they owe that money after several years back to the publishing company. So they're not actually even making money. And so I didn't want to wait. And I had all these other stories that sort of I were working on. I was like, well, let's start a publishing company. How hard could it be? And it was very hard. but fast forward through all the drama and the ups and downs of building our team, raising some investment capital, and here we are now at the end of 2022. We have 18 illustrated books. We have 19 audio stories, including our first feature-length 90-minute Christmas story called Joy to the World, The Untold Story of Old Saint Nick, which had 15 voice actors. We went to the North Pole to interview Santa Claus himself to understand the backstory of who he was as a child and the journey Nicholas went on to become Santa Claus and the lessons he learned along the way about giving. And we are, it's been amazing. And a part of the model, we wanted to shift the publishing industry on its head. So we're the first ever fair trade publishing model, company. We pay 50% of our revenue from subscriptions and book revenue back to our artists. So we're building an app right now so that in the new year, there will be new audio stories every Saturday morning to place cartoons, a new book every month, musical sing-alongs for kids, and imagination meditations, as well as classroom activities, because we're now working with educators in the education system to help kids integrate all the lessons and themes from the story so the kids can become the characters and embody those values and lessons in their life. So we're creating this whole picture that is really here to serve kids, to create new ways for parents and children and families and classrooms to connect on a deeper level, to explore, and to ultimately get kids back off of screens and into their imaginations where they belong and where they have the power to transform our world. Because they're not going to do it from the consumption method that is currently happening.
Yeah.
And that's the short end of the story.
Yeah.
You're a very good listener.
Well, that's why I love podcasts. But that was a fantastic intro. So thank you so much. And explanation of, you know, the where, the how, the why. And I could not agree with you more about screen time, and not just screen time, but like the quality of kids shows. And like you were talking about with the changing frames and the flashing colors and like just so much going on that makes their already short attention span even shorter. So I also wanted to bring up the fact that the American Academy of Pediatrics came up with their screen time recommendations, and I'll link to what the actual recommendations are. But essentially, you know, the recommendation is no screen time for kids under the age of 2. And unless, now there is a caveat, unless it's some type of like telemedicine, like telehealth visit, or a FaceTime with family and friends, because of course, during the pandemic, that connection, that social connection was important. And so that's the exception that the American Academy of Pediatrics has said. And of course, that's not the end all be all, but I usually reference the AAP because I am in the United States and that's like my North Star. And it's a very reputable organization. But the fact that there is a recommendation of limited screen time and definitely not for entertainment purposes, sometimes that can be challenging for parents of like, you know, I need to put in a load of laundry, I need to do some dishes. And of course, they're still supervising their child, but having to just constantly entertain their children can be really, really challenging. And so I wanted to talk about some alternative options to screen time for kids to do when they're either too young to be watching any screen time or they're old enough. And really, you know, it's great to limit it and to give some other options, because then it really only goes up to like 1 hour a day. So what are you going to do for the other, you know, waking hours? So could you talk about some of those alternatives? And you did allude to it, but I'm curious to hear your take.
So I guess this also goes back to my parenting philosophy. So when Soren was born, I thought there would be this weight of responsibility that goes along with the incredible love that you have for your child. And for me, my first thoughts as soon as he came into the world was, whoa, my adventure buddy's here. So we call each other adventure buddies. We have a cheer that every time it's like Papa Soren adventure time, we have this like, adventure buddies, stick together! And then we go on our adventure. So one thing, kids need stories. Stories are how humans have always learned about the world, how they learn about themselves, how they make sense of this crazy, chaotic place that we call home on this planet. And so audio stories are amazing because they switch on the imagination. They're not feeding kids anything. Like a show or a movie basically does the job of telling kids exactly what the world is. Whereas if they're listening to audio or they're listening to somebody read to them, their imagination is taking them places. And that's an art that we don't want to lose. If kids forget if they don't foster the ability to imagine, then they're not going to be able to solve the problems that their generation is going to be faced with in the future. We have to keep our imaginations intact. We have to stay creative. So, there's every story we have has 10 to 12 activities in the that people can download through our app that we're building, and through basically these are crafts, coloring exercises, conversation starters for around the dinner table or in the classroom, guided adventures for kids to go out on in the real world to basically go on these quests to learn and really embody the principles. And there's hours and hours and hours of things that parents can do with their kids. I think a part of, so yeah, there's the piece around like, okay, I need to cook some dinner. Like, just leave me alone. So that's where, like, setting up an activity ahead of time, having that pre-planned as a parent is like, today we're doing Lego, so I'm pulling out the Lego. Or today we've got all the paints out, I'm going to put the paints down. And for 45 minutes, you kids are going to be painting. I'm turning on the audio story and, you know, paint the world that you're imagining or whatever it might be. But another part that we're really trying to do, because we live in a disconnected world where the family unit is becoming more and more fragmented because parents are on the phones, parents are stressed, rightfully so. It's a stressful moment in human history. And so the idea of the activities and the audio stories are also that they're an activity that families can do while they're driving. They're an activity families can do in the evening to kind of help kids mellow out before you get to bedtime. And then you can take those activities and do them together. One of the things that we're working on right now, I live on an island on the West Coast, and we have 20 acres of forest out back here. So we've got this little trail that goes probably a kilometer, like 3/4 of a mile. And we've been searching beaches and forests and finding wood and turning that wood into gnome doors. So we now have a whole gnome village out in our back forest that's become this like ever-evolving project. And so you hike this trail and there's like 40 gnome doors in stumps, in rocks. And it's just this thing that we're doing. It gets them outside. We're building forts. And it gets me outside when I shut the computer at the end of the day. And it's just super fun. And I think that's one of the pieces is, you know, kids are, they're endless bundles of energy. They have so much energy. And as parents, we can be really, really tired. And so we have to try and find ways that we can connect with them and they can really explore their own creativity and imagination. And for us, like, audio stories have been a big part of it. He's actually in the room next to me listening to an audio story right now while he's building inventions with magnet blocks. So those are some of the pieces. For his homeschooling, which I'll just touch on, then you can ask specific questions if you have any. Our approach to homeschooling is really to follow his curiosities and his flow. So right now, he and I go to martial arts once a week. He's learning how to be the pizza maker in our family. So he's learning how to do pizza dough. He's learning how to whittle wood. So he's got a knife that he whittles with. He's learning how to process food. So he just was a part of his first turkey killing last week, where he got to watch the whole process and he loved it. And he reads for probably 2 hours a day with a book. You know, he can't read fully yet, but because he's spending so much time just like immersed in stories, he is picking up all the cues of like, these are the words. And he's through us building things and creating together, he's learning all the things that you would need to learn about math. So we're really trying to foster his creative gifts, to support him to be the wild imaginative inventor that he is, and ultimately trying to surround his days with having as much fun as he possibly can, because that helps to fuel more of his curiosities and keep him engaged in whatever projects he's interested in doing. And my wife has her own creative space in the studio next to me, so we have connected studios, and his homeschooling jumps between kitchen activities, outdoor activities, my studio where he's working on Magic Kids stuff, so he's our creative director. He voice acts, he writes stories with me, he meets with our marketing team. It was his idea to build the app. He didn't realize it would cost as much money as it does, but we still think it's a great idea. And he meets our designers, our illustrators, and he's a part of the creative process. And then he's learning to do leather work, craft, stitch, all the things next door. And so I think if parents out there, if you've forgotten your passions and you've forgotten your own dreams, it's a beautiful thing to walk hand in hand with your kids as they explore their passions and you reignite yours and you walk towards your dreams together and you collectively dream as a family and you imagine what your future could be if you're all walking the path together instead of in the separate silos that we can, that our current societal structure kind of creates for us. And that's what we're trying to do with our family and how we approach parenting and homeschooling and all the things.
Yeah. I really love the fact that you said that, you know, you're following your son's cues. You saw that when he was in preschool, it wasn't really working for him. And so it wasn't, you know, this resistance of like, we're going to force this, but instead just meeting him where he was. And I am such a fan of that. Like, that's one of the things I talk about in parenting all the time, is there's so many different choices and there's so many different paths, and we can all just kind of figure out what path makes the most sense for us, for our kids. And as a mom of two, I see the difference between my two kids and like have to meet my daughter where she is. And then my son is younger. And so then we'll meet him where he is. And I'm not necessarily going to compare like, well, your sister did this, so you must do this, but instead really digging into getting to know them, their personalities, their passions. And I also completely agree with you about tapping into your own passions as a person, as a human. Even though you're a parent, you still have your passions, you still have your interests, and then trying to, you know, kind of combine that with quality time with your kids. I completely agree with that. And that's something that I've been evolving into in my own parenting journey as well. And I also agree with what you said about, you know, fostering together time for families, because that is something that I think collectively we are all struggling with, having our attention just being pulled in different directions. And so intentionally redirecting it back to a place that is going to meet that path that we have found is best for our family. So just really, really appreciate everything that you shared about your homeschooling journey and your journey to make Magic Kids and the audiobooks and the actual, the illustrated books and everything that goes along with that. I also am curious, you said that this has kind of evolved from the time that your son was three till he was six. Is there an age range that Magic Kids stories are geared towards?
I would say like the 3 to 8 is our sweet spot. Okay. So I'm kind of the philosophy that kids are geniuses. And so if you treat them like geniuses, they'll be geniuses. And this really dawned on me when Soren was 11 months old, walking around like a little drunk toddler. He was just learning to walk. He was just learning to say some words. And I was like, how smart is this kid? What does he understand? And we're in our living room. And I said, Soren, I had his full attention. I said, Soren, go into the bedroom, grab your elephant, and take it to mommy in the kitchen. And he waddled away, wearing his diapers. He comes back, walks past me with his elephant, goes into the kitchen, and hands it to Celeste. And I was just like, oh my gosh, he understands everything we're saying. And so from that day on, it was like, there's no more baby talk. It was like, this little guy understands everything we're saying. He may not have like the comprehension of every single word we say, but he understands a lot more than we were giving him credit. And so our books, when I say 3 to 8, is like a lot of our stories have complex language. So the stories are meant to, kids are meant to grow into the stories, that you can read it again and again and take new pieces, learn new words. Soren still stops me all the time when he's reading. He's like, what does that word mean? And then I'll hear him speak the word in the proper context a week or two later. And so, you know, the language of reading is more evolved than what a typical 4-year-old would be read to, because the typical 4-year-old books are treating 4-year-olds like they don't know anything. So if we can, what kids need is to, like, if they're treated like geniuses, they're going to act like it. And so that's the level that we're trying to speak to the children, so it really awakens something inside of them that oftentimes goes dormant at an early age for kids. And the stories are for parents. The messages inside these stories are for parents. They're for myself. They're for my wife. They're here to remind us to stay true to our own path and our own spark, so that we don't dim our lights, which then dims our kids' lights. And if we are moving in the direction of our own dreams and our own passions, we're going to be lit up, and that lights our kids up, and it gives them permission to do the same thing. So I would say the books are actually more for parents, And parents are meant to read them in the good company of their kids.
Yeah, I really like that. I just think that that is the case for so many things in parenting that I didn't understand until I was a parent. Yeah. So I appreciate that you guys have that lens on. And you have the big story about Joy to the World, the unknown story of St. Nicholas coming out soon.
Yes.
When is that coming out and how can folks find that or get on the wait list?
Yeah, December 3rd, it goes live and it'll be available to listen to until December 31st. And then we take it down till next year. So just go to our website, magickids.com, magickids.com, and you'll see a big spot to sign up to our newsletter to get notified when that goes live. And it's super fun and magical. It's meant to be something, hopefully it becomes a new Christmas tradition. You know, like as my Christmas tradition growing up is like, we watch Scrooge, we watch Rudolph, we watch Frosty the Snowman. Yes. I'm bored of those now. I'm almost 40. I'm done watching those every year. And this audio story is hopefully going to be something families can listen to, while setting up their Christmas tree or going on a Christmas road trip with the family, that you've got a time and a space where everybody's together and you can go on this magical journey of listening to this backstory of who old Saint Nick was as a child.
It's wonderful. And I have loved our conversation today. And if parents are interested in listening to more stories or following you on social media, where can they do that?
So magickids.com. So magic, M-A-J-I-K. Kids.com. That's the website. All of our existing 19 stories are available there. We are on Instagram. I'm not a social media guy, but I have some people that like social media that are on my team, so they do some posting there. The best thing would just be get on our email list, because every time we release a new story, meditation, or song, you get on the list. And then when the app goes live in February, we're going to have tons of new music, meditations, new stories every weekend, and we'll have four stories a month, and three out of the four will be inside the app, and then the other one story will be on Spotify, iTunes, etc. So you can currently find all of our audios on Spotify and iTunes as well.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to link to all of that in the show notes of this episode. Yes, and thank you again for coming on the show, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and would like to hear more, please follow Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to use the code FYVPODCAST to sign up for the postpartum class at pregnancytopreschool.net to save 15% today. Thank you so much, and stay safe, healthy, and connected.